You are listening to NTC Messina's podcast, where our desire as a family of God is to simply know God, love one another, and make disciples.
Well, I'm going to continue what I talked about last week. If you missed it, that's all right. But I'm going to continue just talking about what it means, or what some thoughts on what it means to follow Jesus, to be his disciple. And as I said last week, the word Christian in the New Testament is only used three times. Disciple is used 269 times. Now, that's not to say that the word Christian isn't a great word. The word Christian is an incredible word. We are Christians, and that is, it means so much. There's so much good in that word. Well, when the scriptures is talking about what it means to follow Jesus, the word that is used so often is the word disciple. And what we talked about, what I talked about last week, is that you can be a Christian and not be a disciple. Because a disciple is something, and I laid it out with these three phrases: to be with him, to live as he lived, and to do as he did. We kind of think of the word apprentice. We're familiar with the word apprentice. That we if you want to be a plumber, you get around another plumber, you learn what they do, you hang out with them, you learn what they do, and then eventually you go and you do what they did, right? Well, as disciples, and I said the disciple is not a verb. You aren't discipled. You aren't discipling somebody else. So we understand what that means. We can learn and we can teach and we can do all those things. But ultimately, the responsibility is on each and every one of us to be a disciple. And we want to do that. And so last week I talked a little bit about that, and I talked especially about the first part of being a disciple is to be with Jesus. That Jesus invited people to follow him, to be with him. They got up, they dropped their nets, or they left the tax collector's booth, as Lance talked about last week, and they were with Jesus. Jesus invited people to be with him. And this is these three phrases that I'm unpacking over these 2 weeks. It's not a three-step program, but there is an order to it. Because if you're going to become like Jesus, you got to spend some time with him. Right? So the priority, the first thing, is to be with Jesus. And when we talk about being with God, we're talking about a person. Jesus is a person. The Holy Spirit is a person. Our God, the creator of the universe, is not a force. It's not an idea. It's not a belief. It's a person. And we see this throughout the scriptures, and just there's so much that we could unpack there. We want to remember that we're not just following an idea. We're following a person. I want to go to Luke chapter 10 and verse 38, a story many of us are familiar with. In Luke chapter 10 and verse 38, it says, as Jesus and his disciples continued on their way, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing, which is a good thing. And she came to Jesus and said, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me. I love how honest the scriptures is. Real life here. But Jesus wants to teach Martha something here. And he says, but the Lord said to her, my dear Martha, you're worried and upset over all these details. But there's only one thing worth being concerned about, and Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her. Now, he's not rebuking her for serving. In fact, he's going to enjoy her meal in a few moments. But he's saying there's something that Mary has caught that maybe you need to catch. We can do a lot of things. We can serve. We can read our Bibles. We can do all these things. But Mary found something that can't be taken away from her, and that's the presence of Jesus. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, she knew that's where she wanted to be. And so the first thing that we need to be conscious of in being a disciple is being with Jesus. Last week I read from John chapter 15, where Jesus used in a few lines, he uses a word 10 times. And in the New Living Translation, it's translated as remain in me. And one of the analogies that he uses there is that of a vine and its branches. And do any of you have a vineyard? I don't have a vineyard. I do have grass. have a couple trees that we've planted. You know, last year I spent a lot of time on my grass, working on it. I wanted to make it look good. I don't have a very big yard, but I was like, if I got the space where I can make my grass look good and I can be proud of it. And you know what? My grass looked good last year. It was thick and green and there weren't a lot of weeds. So, you know, May comes around this year and I thought, man, my grass is going to look good. And I didn't do the same thing that I did last year. And my grass does not look as good as it did because it takes more effort. It can't just weed one year and they're not going to come back next year. I mean, we have this spot. I have this spot where we eventually want to have some flowers there. And I pulled all the grass out, pulled all the weeds out. And it's just, weeds just constantly coming back, right? It takes constant effort. And when Jesus used the words of vine and his branches, I Googled this week. Ohio State University says, make sure, talking about grapevines and branches, make sure your grapevines are pruned each year to maintain the size and shape of the grapevines, maximize fruit production, and increase the overall fruit quality. If you don't prune, if you don't cut away, if you aren't intentional, then the fruit production decreases. And I think that when Jesus is saying this analogy, that the people that first heard this, they're familiar with this. They're like, yeah, you got to keep pruning. You got to keep cutting. You got to give attention to it. Around our table, we've been talking a number of times about manners, and specifically about elbows on the table. And I'm not trying to point anybody's manners here, but I'm trying to raise my boys so that eventually when my boys are around girls, sometime when they actually care about being around them, that they have some manners. You know, we talk about, I'm glad that you have manners when you're at my house, but make sure when you go to somebody else's house, you still, I'm not there to tell you to keep your elbows off the table. And it really doesn't matter, elbows on the table. But what am I trying to do? I'm trying to create, I'm trying to teach, I'm trying to lead them to be something. Who do we want to be? Who do we want to become when we get older, when we step out into the world on our own? You know, this week, I had somebody in the community called and said that there was a concert that was supposed to be in Springs Park, but it was going to rain. We had a lot of rain on Wednesday, and it downpoured. And so they called last minute and said, can we use your space? I was like, sure. Well, I didn't know who I was saying yes to. It was a huge orchestra. There were 40 people up here, but it was really cool. I wrote a New Horizons Band. Has anybody heard of New Horizons Band? They're out of Potsdam, and it's exclusively, you have to be 55 and up to be a part of New Horizons Band, and they say anybody is welcome. If you've never played an instrument, they will teach you, and they were incredible. I mean, I go to a lot of concerts at the school, and I love my kids. It's not always incredible. Am I allowed to say that? The team over at the high school, they do an amazing job. But this group of there was a lot. I have white hair, so I could say this. I have gray hair, a lot of gray hair. There's a lot of gray hair on the stage this week. This huge orchestra. And I thought it was so cool that they say, at any age, if you want to play, come and learn an instrument. And people did. And there was a gentleman that wandered in here and he asked me, how do I get connected? And I was like, I have no idea how to get connected to them. So I found somebody for them to get him to get connected to. He was so excited. And I thought, you know, at any age, you can learn something. You know, we like to say you can't teach an old dog new tricks. It's not true. Even with dogs, you can teach them. And we can be taught. Who are you becoming? What do you want to do? The second goal of a disciple is to become like Jesus. So we've spent time with him, but the goal is to become like him and to live as he lived. I have this phrase in your notes: the process of being formed into people of love in Christ is a long, slow process. I want to acknowledge that. It's not a one-time event. There are one-time events where we get boosts, but overall, following Jesus is a process, which for us in the digital age, we expect instantaneous change. And God does bring instantaneous change at times, but for the most part, all of us, I've been changed and I've had boosts, but I still, do you still need change? I still need change. And so I want to acknowledge that it's a process. And while it's a process, I have written down, we cannot lower the horizon of possibility that was set by the extraordinary life of Jesus and the Spirit. I was going to say that's the bar, but I like the way it's phrased here, the horizon. That's what we're trying to be like. We're trying to be like Jesus. And so we can acknowledge that we all got a lot of work to do, or at least some of us have more work than others, myself especially. We can acknowledge that it's a process, but we want to keep the horizon in front of us. That as a disciple, I'm trying to be like Jesus. That's my horizon. That's what I'm shooting for. Becoming like Jesus. You know, we can't do this without the Holy Spirit. But you know what's interesting to me is that neither did Jesus. Jesus didn't live the life he lived without the Holy Spirit. In the book of Philippians, Paul tells us that when Christ came, when Jesus came down and was born as a human, that he set something aside. He set his divineness. He set his divine attributes aside, and he lived like we do. And I find it interesting that even in the book of John, in John chapter 1, Jesus is baptized. And in the accounts of Jesus' baptism, as the Holy Spirit descends upon Jesus, and Jesus then walks with the power of the Holy Spirit, and he doesn't perform a miracle in the Gospels until after the Holy Spirit comes upon him. That Jesus did what he did because of the Holy Spirit. Now, he's God, but the scriptures tell us that for a time, as a human, that whatever it looks like, he says, I'm gonna surrender my godness and be a human so that he can show us what it means to be human. And that because of what we observe in the life of Jesus, we observe because of his time that he spent with the Father, that he spent time with God, that he was in his presence. But then God became more like God. It says he grew in wisdom and favor and stature with God and man, the scripture says, that God grew, Jesus grew, whatever that looks like. But then he did amazing things because of the presence of the Holy Spirit in his life, and we have that available to us too. We need God. St. Augustine, way back in the 4th century, said, without God, we cannot, but without us, God will not. God wants to work through you. Our job is to surrender. But this isn't something, I'm not putting on you something that you're not already doing, because we all become like what we behold. The things that we give our attention to, the things that we read, the things that we focus on, the people that we are around, we become like, right? The trick is in this is that we want to become like Jesus, which means we need to spend time with Jesus, be in his presence, but just to be conscious of, what am I becoming? You know, sometimes when I'm sitting at the dining room table and I see my son's elbows on the table, and then I look down and I see my own elbows on the table. Abel's really good at pointing that out, by the way. An apprentice of Jesus, I have this down on your handout, an apprentice of Jesus is one who has arranged their life around becoming like Jesus as expressed through, and this is could be your, becoming like Jesus as expressed through your personality, your gender, your life stage, your culture, your ethnicity, and so on. We want to become like Jesus in your situation, in your life, your personality. This isn't about ignoring your personality or ignoring whatever it is that your gifts and talents. This is about you being fully those things, fully like Jesus. In one word, it's becoming more loving. Are you becoming more loving? The question is, are you becoming more loving? Not more biblically educated, not practicing more disciplines, not more involved in church, but more loving. I will often have the conversation with my boys that there's a difference between correlation and causation. Things can be correlated but not be the cause. You know, the goal, as I said, is not to become biblically educated. It's not to, the goal is not to be serving in church. The goal is not to be practicing spiritual disciplines. But those things lead somewhere, don't they? Spending time with Jesus often leads us to serve. It leads us to read the scriptures. It leads us to pray. And those things are help us in our journey, but they aren't the goal. The goal is to become more like Jesus. The goal is to become more loving. John chapter 17, we often quote Jesus' prayer in the garden. He says, I'm praying, this is Jesus, he says, I'm praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message, that's you. I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one. We see the example of Jesus and the Father. As you are in me, Father, and I am in you, may they be in us, so that the world will believe you sent me. I have given them the glory you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. I am in them, and you are in me, and may they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. We want to know God's love, and we want to become more loving. You know, Christ's likeness is possible, but let's be honest, it's not natural. It takes intention. There are no accidental saints. I believe, you know, there's different ways to do this, and I wrote three down. That when we encounter truth, we engage in spiritual practices and remain in community, we can become like Jesus. And again, those aren't the things. I joked last week, you know, I'm talking about, it's not just about what you believe, it's about being with Jesus. And by the way, I'm teaching a class on doctrine in a couple weeks. And I feel sometimes like I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth. Because I'm going to spend months going through the teachings of the scriptures and going through doctrine. But it is so important. But when I teach classes, and I've said it so many times up here, that when you open up your Bible to read, the first thing you should do is pray. God, speak to me. Help me to understand what I'm reading. And when we sit down, and I do this in my classes, when we go through the teachings of Scripture, we should start with prayer. Because if it's just about learning the teachings of Scripture, is it really any value? Oh, sorry. I didn't acknowledge. Greg and Jess are here. No, I wanted to earlier. Can we just excited that Greg and Jess are here? And I said last week, you know, we're not following Greg and Jess, but isn't it great to have them lead us? We want to remind that, and Greg is an incredible example of this, that as they follow Jesus, they show us what it looks like a little bit more. You know, and there's an incredible value to classes, an incredible value to pastoring, an incredible value to leading. But let's remember that we're following Jesus. And so we have these things like classes, and again, I'm going to go through our basic doctrine, which will start in September. I'm going to take time to just go through the teachings of the scriptures and examine them and kind of wrap our brains around them. But it's for the purpose of encountering truth and of knowing Jesus a little bit more. We always need to start with being with Jesus and from there encounter truth. From there, practice disciplines, pray, read the scriptures, fast, all those things. Remain in community. Jesus invited people to be with him, to live as he lived, and to do what he did. When Jesus said to Simon and Andrew, come follow me and I will make you fishers, I will show you how to fish for people. He was saying, apprentice under me and I'll teach you how to do what I do. They already knew how to fish. But Jesus said, follow me and learn what I'm doing so that you can do what I'm doing. And so we see this play out and with the disciples, specifically with 12 disciples that Jesus chooses to follow him in a closer way. And I love, one of my favorite authors in the scripture is Luke. And Luke writes the book of Luke, and he also writes the book of Acts. And Luke writes the book of Luke, and he is very intentional about what he's writing, and he tells us why he's writing it, and he tells us that there's a lot that could have been written, but this is what he's chosen to write. But then in his Luke part 2, in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1, verse 1, Luke begins by saying, "In my first book, I told you, Theophilus, about everything Jesus began to do and teach." Now he's writing, Jesus, he's gonna tell them again about Jesus leaving. And he says very specifically, "I told you in my first book about everything Jesus began to do and teach." Jesus is leaving. If you're beginning something, that means there's more to follow. And then he comes to the very last part of the book of Acts, Acts chapter 28. It says, "For the next 2 years, Paul," and we followed Peter and we followed Paul and we've seen what Stephen has done and Philip. And we come to the end of Acts chapter 28. It says, "Paul lived in Rome at his own expense. He welcomed all who visited him, boldly proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ, and no one tried to stop him." Now, when I read that, I think movies kind of end like that sometimes, and they're like, but there's more that's going to happen later. The book of Acts ends with, there's more to the story. But the book of Acts begins with, in my first book, friend Theophilus, I told you about all the things that Jesus began to do and teach. In my second book, it's going to continue. But it's not going to continue through the hands of Jesus. It's going to continue through the hands of his disciples who did the things that Jesus did. And when you follow the book of Acts, they do pretty much all the miracles that Jesus did, they do, the disciples do, to show us that when you spend some time with Jesus, you slowly become more and more like him, and the goal is to do the things that he did, to be like Jesus, and the disciples did that in the book of Acts, and we come to the end of the book of Acts, and it's just supposed to continue, that we are supposed to be spending time in Jesus' presence, becoming more and more like him, more loving, and then doing the things that Jesus did, which he says. And so it continues. The final goal of the apprentice is to carry on the work of the master. We want to keep doing the work of Jesus. If you apprentice under Jesus, I have this on your handout, your end goal is to grow and mature into the kind of person who can say and do all the things that Jesus said and did. That is our goal. Children get this intuitively. If you read your children the story of the Good Samaritan and then drive by somebody with a flat tire, what's a child going to say? Hey, you should help them. Because they hear the story. Now let's go and do it. We, not as much. But we want to be like that. We want to read these stories and be like, okay. Not read the stories of Jesus as in, wow, this is what God is like, because it is. But this is what humans are supposed to be like too. Dallas Willard defined a disciple as someone whose ultimate goal is to live their life the way Jesus would live it if he were me. If Jesus were me, how would he live? That's how I want to live. In my context, in my job, in my family, in my neighborhood, in my community, on my trip to Walmart, to live like Jesus and to do the things that he did. 1 John chapter 2, verse 5, it says, "But those who obey God's word truly show how completely they love him. That is how we know we are living in him. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did." That's simple. 1 Corinthians 15, But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the first of a great harvest of all who have died. So you see, just as death came into the world through a man, now the resurrection from the dead has begun through another man. Just as everyone dies because we all belong to Adam, everyone who belongs to Christ will be given new life. But there is an order to this resurrection. Christ was raised as the first of the harvest. Then all who belong to Christ will be raised when he comes back. The Bible refers to Jesus as the first fruits. He's the example. In Jesus, we see what God is like. But in Jesus' time on earth, we see what humans are supposed to be like, what humanity is supposed to look like. And so a challenge of these 2 weeks and this time that I'm focusing on this is that to see ourselves, you can come to church, you can read your Bible, you can pray. Those are all great things. But Jesus invites us to be a disciple, to be with him, to become like him, and to do the things that he did. I've had an amazing pleasure of seeing this play out in Mason's life. Mason came to know Jesus a number of years ago, and his story is just getting going. Come on up, Mason. His story is just getting going because he's younger than I am. But what I've seen in Mason, just like with Lance last week, what I've seen in Mason is somebody who's becoming like Jesus and also doing the things that he did. So Mason just had a journey, and he's going to tell us a little bit about that.
So my name's Mason. I just came back from Spokane, Washington, across the country. It's a lot hotter there, but it is beautiful. I saw Greg and Jess while I was there, and it was amazing. But I got to go because I did a program called Momentum, and it was my second year, and it was time to get a little bit crazier. And the West Coast is pretty crazy. And so I went, and I expected a lot of things. I expected, I don't know, to come back with this heart of revival. I expected to come back and be able to administrate and everything, and I did. I did a lot of Google calendars. I did a lot of tasks, a lot of setting up stuff, a lot of just really cool things. I met some amazing people, but... And I ate a lot of Denny's, so good. But one thing I realized that I didn't think I'd come back with, one expectation I didn't think is faithfulness. Just like Justin was saying, the youth pastor out there said something that just probably the biggest takeaway I'll ever have for the rest of my life. She said it's not about the youth ministry, it's not about how big it is, it's not about how great of a preacher you are, it's not about how successful you are, it's about how faithful you are with what God has given you. It's about going home every day and knowing that you did everything that God called you to do. And if you messed up, just saying, God, there's always tomorrow. God, you have more. And there's just two verses that just stuck out, and Justin already said them, and it's in Luke 3. It just says, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, you are my son, whom I love, with you I am well pleased. Now Jesus himself was about 30 years old when he began the ministry. And that just sticks out because Jesus was loved before he started doing his Father's work. Because even before he did his, what we would think is God's work, he was already doing his work. He was already living faithfully as a son. He was already living loved. He already knew that he was delighted in. And I just realized that's the heart of God. It's not about ministry. It's not about how many people Greg can preach to or how many people Justin can teach basic doctrine or how many kids I can get fired up. It's nothing about that. The heart of it is living as sons and daughters. And God just calls us to this place of faithfulness. And then out of that, we see Jesus' ministry. Out of that, we see lives changed and restored, and we just see someone who knew he was a son. It's not just because he came from God. Obviously, Jesus is God. But he just modeled to us sonship and daughtership. He's not a daughter, though. So I just want to invite you guys today to just come back to that heart. Like, if you feel like maybe, you know, you're, like, lacking that place of, man, like, I don't know if God really loves me. I don't know if I really feel like a son or a daughter. I don't know if I feel like I know God's love. I just want to invite you back to that place of faithfulness. Yesterday, I was sitting on my bathroom floor crying. I cry a lot. And I was just like, God, like, I was just trying to, like, you know, get back to a good place with God. And then I realized we're always in a good place with God. Always. There's never a time where we're not good with God unless we choose not to be. And he's just waiting to love us and waiting to just accept us in his grace. And there's this book that me and Justin were talking about. It's called Practicing the Way. And I just felt like God wanted me to read one more chapter before I went to bed. And it was just talking about prayer, right? You know, we think we always have to be praying. We do. But there's this place where it calls for quiet prayer, where you're not doing anything, where you're just sitting in God's presence, faithfully just soaking in God's love, because that's what God wants to do. I think the book said it this way, like, love being loved. Isn't that really good? Like, I want to fall in love with being loved. Like, you don't have to do anything. You just have to sit there and just be like, God, your love is more than enough. And it's just greater than anything. I realize just being able to sit there and know that we're loved, know that, like Sherry was talking about, knowing that we're forgiven, knowing that we're made new, knowing that there's new life. And I just want to invite the altar team up and just open up a time for just prayer and just receiving God's love. Just coming up and saying, God, your way, not my way. God, I need you. God, I love you. And I just want to have your way. So I'll just pray us out. And then you're more than invited to just come and just hop in God's love, because it's so great. So God, we just thank you. Lord, we thank you that your love is more than sufficient. Father, that's nothing that we can do. Lord, but that you just love us, that you've been faithful to us all our days, Father, from since before we were in our mother's wombs, Lord, you desired faithfulness in us, Lord, in the same way you've been faithful to us. So Father, I pray you would open our hearts, you would open our lives. Lord, I pray you'd be exalted, Father, through our accepting of your love, Lord, that your love would transform us, Lord, that your love would call us to a new creation, Lord, and that we just accept your love and we would be turned into your love, Lord. Father, all we'd want to do is sit at your feet and cry and take joy in you, Lord. We just thank you that you're so faithful, Father. I pray to you in Jesus' name, amen.
So we're going to sing a song. And as Mason said, if you want to know God's love, if you don't know his love the way we've been talking about, you can't. You can do it on your own, but we have some people that would love to pray with you so that you can know his love. If you want to know his love in a new way today, you can do that too. So we're going to sing a song, invite you to come up, receive some prayer, but just pour out your heart to Jesus right now and experience his love. Let's sing.
Thank you for listening to NTC Messina's podcast. We hope you join us next week and have a blessed day.